This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.
Ah, love. It's a funny word. It has a variety of meanings, it seems, for just about everyone. Why, over the years, an enormous amount of songs have been written just about love. Singers like Dean Martin, Bobby Darin, Barbara Streisand, why yes, even the Beatles, and so many others, all singing about this word we call love. Now the Bible, it also has a lot to say about the words of love. And in some cases, actually, is misunderstood about what it means when it comes to love. An example of this is found in 1 Corinthians, in the 13th chapter. Yes, many believe this chapter is about marriage and what it takes to be happy, when in fact, it goes much further and beyond that. So, stay with us as we explore this chapter on today's edition of The Armor of God.
In times like these, we need the armor of God for the well-being of our families, to help you stand in the evil day. The Church of God International presents Armor of God, a program of biblical understanding.
Well, welcome to another international broadcast of The Armor of God. I'm your host, Adrian Davis. And what I'd like you to do is think of a beautiful Christian wedding. Just picture that in your mind. And what I'd like you to do is now think of the pastor or the minister at that wedding. And think of a scripture that he might quote as he blesses the couple. If you're like most of us, the scripture that's going to come to mind is the scripture about love in 1 Corinthians 13. If you're not familiar with it, let me read it to you. If you are, let me remind you. 1 Corinthians 13, beginning in verse 1, Paul writes, "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not love, I've become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long and it's kind. Love envies not. Love vaunts not itself, is not puffed up. It does not behave itself unseemly. It seeks not her own. It's not easily provoked, thinks no evil. Rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things." And as the minister reads these beautiful words, they fall on people's ears and it just sounds so wonderful. And if the Apostle Paul was alive, to hear these words read at various weddings, I think his response would be, what do weddings have to do with this? Like, what? Why are these words being read at weddings? When Paul wrote these words, they had nothing to do with Christian weddings. So we want to understand, why did Paul write these words? And when we put them in their proper context, and we understand the point that he was trying to make, not only will our marriages be better, all of our relationships will be better. So let's dig into this scripture and understand what is the point that the Apostle Paul was making. Now, in the short time that we have together, I'm not going to be able to go real in depth as much as I would like to, but I do want to offer you three resources, that this is such an important topic, the role of love in our lives, that these three resources are really going to help you get a firm grasp of the apostles' teaching. The first one is called A More Excellent Way. A More Excellent Way. And this is by Pastor Murray Palmatier. It's a CD, a sermon length CD, A More Excellent Way. We also have 1 Corinthians 13. 1 Corinthians 13, it's a sermon that I gave specifically on this passage, and also a sermon by Pastor Bill Watson entitled, What About Love? What About Love? So three different pastors, three different sermons, all on this same very big topic about 1 Corinthians 13. Now, to get these items free of charge, all you need to do is call us toll-free, 888-578-8791. That's 888-578-8791. Or you can visit our website, cgi.org. Go to www.cgi.org. You can order the resources there. What you can also do when you're there is access our multiple broadcasts. Throughout the week, we have various broadcasts, live broadcasts. There's also recorded messages there. Just a great resource for you. Another great resource for you is our app. If you haven't downloaded our app, go to your favorite app store and search for CGI Digital Network. When you download that app, you will see a wide variety of resources, a real plethora of resources, really neatly organized, very convenient, give you very quick access to these resources and more. Well, welcome back and thanks for joining us for this broadcast. We are looking at the words of the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 13. And although most people hear these, most people will only hear these words at a wedding, when the Apostle Paul wrote them, weddings were the last thing on his mind. So what we want to do is get into the text and understand what is it, what is the point that the Apostle Paul was making in this very famous text in 1 Corinthians 13. What I'll start by saying is, context is king. Whenever you want to understand a passage of Scripture, we really need to look at the context, the Scriptures around it. And the context for 1 Corinthians 13 actually begins in chapter 1. So let's begin in chapter 1 of 1 Corinthians. And the Corinthian congregation was a troubled congregation. It was a mixed congregation, different demographics, as well as, you know, different Jews, free men, slaves. We had also rich and poor, male, female, very mixed cosmopolitan congregation. And they were very divided. In 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 9, Paul writes, God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And then in verse 10, he writes this, Now I'm begging you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. There was a lot of divisiveness within this congregation. And verse 11 says, he explains, For it has been declared unto me of you. So he received this report about Corinth. It's been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are the household of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. And this is beginning to set the context for what we're going to see in 1 Corinthians 13. That there were contentions, there were arguments, there were fights among the brethren. And the Apostle Paul was receiving these reports of this congregation that he founded, that it basically was falling apart. Now, if we fast forward in the letter to chapter 11, what we see in chapter 11 now is this Passover service. And we get a glimpse, a greater glimpse of the divisiveness that was within the congregation. In verse 17, he begins, Now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not. So he was very, very disappointed with what he's about to share with them. This report that he's received of what's going on in the congregation. And so he's about to share with them what it is, and he makes it very clear to them, he's unhappy. He is deeply disappointed. And he says, I praise you not, meaning I'm very disappointed. That you come together, not for the better, but for the worse. So this congregation, he's saying, you know, it's better for this congregation if you guys didn't come together at all. And yet we know that it's instructed, it's a command that the congregations assemble together and they don't forsake the assembling of themselves together. And yet from what Paul is seeing, he's saying it's actually, they're in a worse state when they come together than when they're apart. And this has to do with how they are damaging each other and they represent the body of Jesus Christ, and they are harming the body of Jesus Christ. And it would be better for them not to come together and fall into that terrible situation. So he goes on now to explain in verse 18. First of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. So it is so wild, it is so bizarre what's happening in this church, and these are the reports that Paul is getting, and he's saying, you know, I can see it, I partly believe it. For there must be also heresies, and that word might be better translated heretics. There must also be heretics among you, that they which are approved may be made obvious among you. So this has to happen. The wheat and the tares have to grow together, and in this process it's going to be clear who's the wheat and who are the tares. Verse 20, when you come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. So the meal that they were having, they thought they were having the Lord's Supper, and Paul is saying, no, this is not at all the Lord's Supper. For in eating, everyone takes before the other his own supper, and one is hungry, and another is drunken. What? Don't you have houses to eat and drink in? Or is it that you despise the church of God? And you shame them that have not. As I mentioned earlier, this is a congregation that had very, very wealthy members, but also had impoverished members. And the wealthy members were coming together in such a way that they were humiliating those that were poor among them. And so Paul is asking, like, is it that you despise the church? And you want to shame those that have not? What shall I say unto you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. The Apostle Paul is saying, like, you want me to commend you? I can't commend you. This is something I have nothing good to say about the congregation in this matter. Going on then to verse 33 of this chapter 11. Remember, this is all context for where we're going. And where we're going is chapter 13. But here in verse 33, he says, therefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. Show respect. So those that are wealthy, they didn't have to work. They could get together much earlier than those who were impoverished or enslaved. And they had to wait until the sun set before they could join. And now the apostle's saying, look, wait for each other. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that you come not together unto condemnation. And that's why Paul said earlier, you know, it's better for you not to come together. You're actually in a worse situation when you come together than if you had stayed apart. Why? Because when they were coming together unto condemnation. And the rest he says, everything else he says, I will set in order when I come. Now, because of what was happening, and if you read chapter 11 yourself carefully, you'll see that there is a disregard, a complete disregard for members of Christ's body. So Paul uses this then as a platform to launch into a whole discussion on the importance of gifts in the body of Christ and how no one person has all the gifts. No one member has all the gifts. That the gifts are distributed among the membership. And so the congregation will have everything it needs, but it will not be in one member. It'll be amongst all the members. So that's what 1 Corinthians 12 is all about, and it's an answer to what is happening in chapter 11. So in 1 Corinthians 12, we'll just pick up a few verses here. He begins it in verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I don't want you to be ignorant. You need to understand this. This is something that it's not proper for you to function as a Christian ignorant of how the gifts work. In verse 4, he says, now there are diversities of gifts, but it's the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but it's the same Lord. Verse 6, and there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. So as we receive the Spirit, we also receive at least a gift, but sometimes multiple gifts of the Spirit. Why? So that the whole body benefits. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. To another, this is the point that Paul is making, one is given the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings, by the same Spirit. And he keeps emphasizing another, not the same one, another one. Healing by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, diverse kinds of tongues. To another, interpretation of tongues. But all these work that one and self-same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. So God looks at each man's natural capabilities and then enhances those capabilities with spiritual assets. He goes on then to say, verse 12, for as the body is one, but has many members, look at your body, my body, it's one body, but it's made up of multiple members. This is, he's saying to the Corinthian congregation, you need to understand this. As the body is one and has many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. He doesn't want them to be ignorant. They need to understand this. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles. And again, this is a mixed congregation. Whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. This is the education he's giving them to solve the crisis that he speaks of that really climaxed in chapter 11. He goes on to say, and if the ear shall say, the ear is saying, I'm not the eye, I'm not of the body. Is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, well, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where were the smelling? But now has God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it has pleased him. So he's really emphasizing to this congregation, do not underestimate any member of the body. And just because one is not an eye doesn't mean they're unimportant and they're not part of the body. If everybody was an eye, where would the hearing be? If everybody was an ear, where would the smelling be? We need all of the faculties. And the congregation with all of its members spirit-filled together bring all of the faculties that the body needs to function effectively and to function in a healthy manner. And so he says, God has set the members in your congregation, in my congregation. This is by design. God sets the members in the body as it pleases him. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? He goes on in verse 20, but now there are many members, yet one body. He keeps emphasizing this point. Verse 21, the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't have any need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. And that's what the brethren were doing here in Corinth. They were despising each other and having an attitude of, I don't need you. And Paul is saying quite the contrary. You actually do need each other. And by implication, if you read between the lines, it seems that there were in the membership members that had the gift of healing. But they were being despised and they were being neglected. And as a result, healing was not occurring within the congregation. He says, no. Much more, verse 22, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But covet earnestly. Listen to this. This is very interesting, verse 31. Because, we're not to covet. And yet here in verse 31 he says, but covet earnestly the best gifts. And yet I show unto you a more excellent way. And this is the introduction to chapter 13. So the introduction to chapter 13 is this congregation needs to understand how the Holy Spirit works and how the gifts are distributed among the members and how the members need each other. And then he says to them, because the Corinthian church thought that speaking in tongues was the best gift. It was very obvious. It was very manifest. And they were all pursuing the ability to speak in tongues. And the Apostle Paul says, you should seek, now that you understand how the Spirit works and how the gifts are distributed, what you should do is pursue the best gifts. And he's about to tell them which gift is the best gift for them to pursue. But before he does that, he interrupts himself. And he goes on a tangent, a necessary tangent, but a tangent all the same. And so the Apostle Paul, when he speaks these or writes these beautiful words in chapter 13, it's a tangent. It's parenthetical. He's breaking the reasoning, the line of reasoning that he's following. He's taking a diversion because there's a point that he wants to make on the tangent, before coming back to his main point. And his main point is, you should pursue the best spiritual gift. But before he goes there, he interrupts himself and says, there's something else I need to tell you first. And that is, he says here, in the part B of verse 31, yet I show you a more excellent way. And that's what chapter 13 is all about. It's the more excellent way. Now, before we go into chapter 13, because it is an interruption, because it is parenthetical, let's just take it out of the text for now and go straight to chapter 14 so we can stay in the line of reasoning and the train of thought that the apostle was communicating. So verse 31 again of chapter 12, but covet earnestly the best gifts. That almost sounds carnal. And so that's why he says, but I'm going to interrupt myself and show you a more excellent way. And then he goes into chapter 13. We're going to skip over that now and go to chapter 14. Follow after charity. So verse 31, I'm going to show you a more excellent way, points to chapter 13. Coming out of 13 and coming into 14, he says, follow after charity. That's pointing back to chapter 13. And desire spiritual gifts. Now he's resuming the conversation that he started in chapter 12. Desire spiritual gifts, but rather, what he said in the end of chapter 12, choose the best gift. Now he comes back to that train of thought. Rather, that you may prophesy. The ability to speak under inspiration. This is the best gift. And then he's going to explain why. Verse 2. For he that speaks in an unknown tongue, which is what they were pursuing, speaks not unto men, but unto God. For no man understands him. So if you're speaking in a language that nobody else understands, okay, you're inspired perhaps, but nobody's understanding you. Howbeit, in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. However, he that prophesies speaks unto men to edification, exhortation, and comfort. This is so useful. This is so beneficial to the body. And he's speaking to all the members. All the members can pursue this, that they can pursue the ability to speak under inspiration in such a way that they're edifying, they're building up the body, they're exhorting, and they're comforting. He that speaks in an unknown tongue edifies himself, but he that prophesies edifies the church. And that's what we want, brethren. This is what we should be pursuing, the ability to build up the church. And that's why the apostle interrupted himself. That, Corinthians, you need to understand how the Holy Spirit works. You need to understand how the gifts are distributed. You need to understand that the body needs all the gifts. The body needs all its members to function in a healthy and effective manner. And you should be pursuing the best spiritual gift. And the best spiritual gift is the ability to speak under inspiration in such a way that you're building up the body, that you're encouraging others, that you're comforting others. This is the best gift. But in order for you to understand the best gift, and for me to put this advice in context, you need to understand love. Love is not a gift. Love is something that all the members should have. So he goes on then, now we can, having understood that, we can go to chapter 13, where we understand that there's these different gifts. Not everybody has all the gifts. The different members have the gifts. But there's one gift that every member can pursue. That's the ability to speak under inspiration, to edify, to exhort, and to comfort each other. So in order to understand that, he puts context around it by talking about love. Now let's reread 1 Corinthians 13, and I want you to get weddings out of your head. This has nothing to do with weddings. The Apostle Paul would say, what do weddings have to do with this? This has everything to do with congregational health and breaking down the walls of division that were existing between the members. 1 Corinthians 13, though I speak with the tongues of men, that's what they were pursuing. So he starts there. This is the gift they thought was the best. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not love, I've become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. It's just noise. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, that sounds wonderful, and have not love, I'm nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long and it's kind. Love envies not. Love vaunts not itself. It doesn't promote itself. It's not puffed up. It does not behave itself unseemly. It doesn't seek her own. And this is the key. This is why it was important for him, before telling them what the best gift was, he had to say to them, look, when you are filled with love, you don't seek your own. You look after others. And so with this platform of love, we can now build up these spiritual gifts with a view of how they impact others. Seeks not her own, it's not easily provoked, thinks no evil, rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, put up with one another, is advice he gives elsewhere, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part shall be done away. This is just an amazing, amazing scripture that I think we cheapen it when we take it out of context. It just sounds like, wonderful words, beautiful words. Yeah, love. Who can argue with these words? Love is good. When we keep it in context to say, in your congregation, are you a source of division? Are you a source of contention? If you are, if I am, then we are not operating from love. We need to be operating from love and then pursuing these gifts in such a way that we're helping and blessing others. Let me remind you again, time's run out of me, and I did tell you at the outset I wouldn't have enough time to really go into depth. And I want you to get this message in detail and in depth. And for that reason, on this show, I'm offering 3 free offers. Nobody's going to follow up for money. Nobody's going to ask you to get out your checkbook. We just want you to have this information. Christ came so that we can have life and have it more abundantly. And when we understand love and we understand the spiritual gifts, we will have this life more abundantly. The first CD, a sermon by Pastor Palmateer, A More Excellent Way. The second, a sermon by myself on 1 Corinthians 13. And the third, a sermon by Pastor Bill Watson, What About Love? 888-578-8791 or cgi.org. Also, again, I'm going to remind you, if you haven't downloaded our app, download our app. It's just a very convenient way to navigate our resources. Well, thanks for joining us today. Again, for this Armor of God broadcast, we look forward to seeing you on another one in the near future. And remember, it's a very terrible world out there. So remember, put on the whole armor of God and build upon love.
Armor of God and the free material offered is brought to you by The Church of God International of Tyler, Texas. You may write to us at 3900 Thames Street, Tyler, Texas, 75701, or call toll-free at 1-888-578-8791 or call 1-903-939-2929 during regular business hours. You may visit our website at www.cgi.org or email us at armorofgodcgi.org. We appreciate your prayers and support.
This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.